The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good. What day is it?
Wednesday morning!
Wednesday morning. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am out of breath. Total sprint.
We should have let the opening a little while longer.
God.
Gil needs a breather.
Bro, can I just say this about...
It's chaos in Vegas right now, yeah.
VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Chaos.
Chaos.
How many red lights did you run?
One.
Ask me.
How about you run, Gil?
Two.
Yeah. Hey, did you purposely run a red light?
Nope.
Because were your traffic lights not working and not blinking yellow like they usually are?
None of the traffic lights were working. They stayed red.
Yes.
On our side.
So everybody that in my intersection was playing chicken with each other.
They were all, well, all the others had greens apparently.
Oh, yours was really messed up.
Anyway, we're here.
I didn't even think of texting you because I only hit one of those. The BTS lines are back out this morning. Like, okay, so the weather here, we left yesterday.
BTS meaning K-pop band.
Yeah, it was all gloom and doom right outside. It looked like a tornado was going to hit here. And then it was like windy in the afternoon. I don't really know what happened with the weather here yesterday. And yeah, the BTS folks are out this morning. It's like 60 degrees. There's 1,000 of them outside the stadium again, all bundled up.
That was very nice of you to film. Jensen Lewis, shout out to him.
He was standing by. We were going to... getting into some baseball.
So, you know, we're going to reward him. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk college baseball with him next segment. Major League Baseball as well. Paul Spohr will join us. Will Hill with all his bets. Dead sprint, by the way. A little later on. Toddy Wishnev will join us. Who am I leaving out? Nick Whalen?
Nick Whalen at the end of the show today. Yep. And Jonathan Davis for some Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay. We'll do it all. Tennis. Should we start with tennis? Let's get this out of the way. Because it is a massive day at the French Open. I had 10 picks for subscribers. 10 picks.
Love it. I haven't made any new bets yet, so I'm excited.
We are 3-1 already. Huge. I don't think I've ever had 10 picks on the show.
I don't remember that many ever.
We're 3-1 on the overnight. One on Thiago Agustin Tirante versus your guy, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina.
Yeah.
One on Tamara Korpach. Versus Zinyu Wang, or Wang Zinyu, one on Victoria Golubic versus Alicia Parks, lost on Daria Snigur, the big dog versus Peyton Stearns. Give the rest a shot.
You never bet Peyton Stearns against Peyton Stearns at the French Open. Come on, Gil. Get it together. Okay, so you still have a few pending. Then.
Oh, we have six pending. I think one of them, I think Borges may have started. Let me make sure of that. Doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. Yeah, Borges started, not a good start to the first
Nuno.
Set.
Nuno.
But the rest of them, I don't believe, have started. Please, give him a shot.
Yeah, Nuno, Borges, is that what we're going with?
Borges, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Versus Miromir Kecmanovic.
Kecmanovic.
Dino Prismic versus Zhao Fonseca. I know that one. Wow. Oh, Zhao.
He's a fading Zhao on the clay.
Okay, so a slight favorite over Dino Prismic, who I've never heard of before. Okay.
Great clay player.
Nishesh Bazavaretti.
Oh,
wow. Bazavaretti. Bazavaretti.
Maybe I should take back over.
Moneyline plus 166 versus Alex.
American Nishesh Bazavaretti, who just beat Taylor Fritz versus another American, Alex Mickelson.
Quentin Halas. Moneyline plus 125. Halas.
Quentin Halas.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for Quentin Halas, though, if you're American, yes, like me, and right, go to the sports book. Versus Hugo Humbert. Jill Teichman?
Yeah, Jill Teichman.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Moneyline plus 135. I thought it was going to be way off on that one, actually. Versus Magdalena Fresh, who I feel like Gil bets against or on like once every other week.
Hmm.
Solana Sierra, moneyline plus 154 versus Jasmine Paolini.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of dogs in front of us here today. 3-1 so far out of the gate. One in play, five pending. Five have not started, in other words. All right.
Let's go. Big day. Woo! I don't remember. I would have guessed if you'd asked me what's the most I can remember you ever rolling in with a single day, I would have said definitely six. I don't know if I've seen seven, eight, nine.
Let's put it this way. I texted the group chat yesterday, like around, I don't know, 5, 6 p.m. I'm like, I like way too much tennis tomorrow. It ended up with 10 plays. So again, 3-1 start. We'll see how this day ends. Basketball yesterday, one big nothing burger in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spurs crushed, really. I don't want to say crushed, but beaten soundly. I guess they were crushed. Beaten soundly by the Oklahoma City Thunder Game 5 of that best-of-seven Western Conference series. OKC up 3-2 now, 127-114. The over easily cashes, 216.5. Thunder, despite the Spurs taking in all kinds of money, Thunder roll.
Mm-hmm.
Thunder roll, 127-114. Spurs led by as many as 8 out of the shoot, 16-8. OKC came back to lead after the first quarter by a bucket, though. Champagne had 13 out of the gates. OKC 7 turnovers, San Antonio 5 in the first quarter. Then second quarter, 10-3 star for OKC. They go up 9, 39-30. Then it's a 10-point lead at 45-35. Then the Spurs with a 9-0 run to cut it to 45-44. But OKC would build it back to as many as 13 before the half. They led by 11 at the break. Champagne had 17 at the break on 6 of 11 shooting, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. SGA with 19, but foul merchanting, 10 of 10 from the line. Caruso with 14. OKC was 52.5% from the field in the first half, 50% from behind the arc. 20 of 20 from the line. Can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs were 17 of 19 from the stripe. Third quarter. OKC goes on a 7-0 run to start the third. They get it to an 18-point lead, then to 20. 85-65. Then remember, the Spurs had a 14-2 run to cut it to 87-79. And you're like, wow, this could be a game. Certainly the spread, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still in the third quarter. 101-91 OKC and third quarter. After the refs missed, this is where I, you know, if you're a Spurs backer, Spurs fan, you get a little bitter. Because the refs missed OKC interfering with the ball in the cylinder. Should have been 2 points for San Antonio.
Yep.
Mysteriously don't grant the Spurs a review on a ball that clearly went off Holmgren's foot. Although maybe the review was about the cylinder.
Okay, that was weird, and I still don't really have a definitive answer on this, but it sounds like Mitch Johnson screwed this up a little bit.
Either way, he got upset. They gave him a tech.
Yeah.
That was potentially, between all of that, like a 5-point swing.
Oh, it was big. Yeah, it was massive. Yeah. It sounded like you got to call a timeout before you can challenge. It sounds like that's not what he did, and it's rarely called that way, and that's what ended up happening.
Tony Brothers was not having it either.
Yeah, he wasn't having it. Yeah.
Fourth quarter, ball clearly, by the way, off Hartenstein, first possession. They have to jump it. So it kind of continued. Not that it mattered. Spurs got it as close as 8 again. Bottom line, 107-99 with 7 minutes to go. But they'd never get closer. OKC back up 15, 118-103 with 3:42 to go. And then, within a couple minutes of that, Spurs starters were subbed out. 127-114, Castle 24 in defeat. Wemby, 26, 20.6 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks, but 4 of 15 shooting, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
0 of 5 from behind the arc. He, too, was 12 of 12 from the line,
yeah,
which is really where he did most of his stuff, because this was not a Wemby game. You might even say Hartenstein sort of outplayed him, both ends of the court. SGA, 32. Caruso, 22. Jared McCain, 20 in his first playoff start. Daryl Morey, how do you let that kid go?
It's crazy, man. This was a Sam Presti game,
yeah,
once again, right? Of just, you're staring at this roster and you're going, man, they already had the building blocks there with SGA and Chet. What did they go do before the beginning of last season? Alex Caruso and Isaiah Hartenstein. And then what did they do this season? Jared McCain. And it's the whole box score for the Thunder.
OKC, 48.2% for the field, 43.8% from behind the arc. And remember game one, when the Spurs won in overtime, the huge rebounding advantage they had, I think it was like a 21 yeah, rebound advantage. Well, OKC turned that on its head yesterday, 48-41 rebounding advantage. And OKC, with a 3-2 lead, they're one game away from returning now, one win away from returning to the NBA Finals or attempted a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs got a win tomorrow night, of course, and then a potential Game 7 Saturday night back in Oklahoma City. How are you feeling if you're a Spurs fan right now? Should you... Because a lot of people, the narrative after this is, ooh, Wemby looks tired.
Dude, he did look tired.
Or is it just one game?
Both can be true.
And the Spurs will be a tick of a favorite, right? Tick of a favorite in game six, which they are. 3.5-point favorite. And then it'll all come down to, you know, all the marbles on Saturday night.
I think if you're a Spurs backer, I don't think there's anything to be freaking out about.
I don't think so either. You shouldn't be happy, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. I thought Wemby looked tired, but guess what? Wemby looked tired in game 3 too, and he bounced back in game 4. So I don't think there's any reason why we can't expect him to bounce back in game six. But look, it was biggest game of his life, and it was a bad game. There's no other way to say it. Wembanyama made four field goals. He did not play well defensively either. One of the worst defensive games I can remember from Wemby in a long time. And but Hartenstein slowing him down. Three for 11, Wemby was when Hartenstein was his primary defender. It was not a good night, and I expect him to be better at home. I'll probably be on the Spurs. I didn't bet it on open last night. We'll see where this money goes. But yeah, I do expect him to bounce back in the Spurs team to be better at home.
Of course, the winner, or I should say the Knicks, are waiting for the winner. Knicks with a 9-day layoff. And where do you stand on the rest versus Rust? I think the Rust more. It's funny, I was talking to a Knicks fan yesterday. You and I have talked about this on air. Is there a more delusional fan base, right?
Yeah.
And now it's the ultimate because for the first time in 27 years, they've returned to the NBA Finals. Did I go through those scores yesterday on the show? I did.
Yeah.
With the Spurs, just a totally different basketball game in 1999. Funny.
No, those we didn't go through.
We didn't go through. By the way, 1999, I'll have to find them. But the scores were startling back then. But the point I'm saying is, I think that the rest is the last thing they want. You agree with that. But it's funny talking to Knicks fans. They're like, boy, we really think we have, you know. And he couldn't believe my take on it. He couldn't believe it. I was like, I don't know. The rest is bad. These two teams, San Antonio and OKC, are on a different level. He was like, wow, you really like doused me with water. And I'm just like, you really don't like see it like this?
Yeah.
It's funny to observe.
I mean, I think most teams you'd want the rest, but no, not the way this Knicks team's been playing.
It's a historic 10, nay, 11 game run for the New York Knickerbockers. Jensen Lewis, college baseball, looking forward to this, and Major League, next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com has everything you need to bet smarter right now on VSiN.com. Greg Peterson's MLB best bets, Wes Reynolds' Charles Schwab challenge preview, and Zach Cohen's French Open tennis picks. And coming later today, Jonathan Davis's Carolina-Montreal game four picks. Man, we got to talk about the Golden Knights. Cracker Barrel 400 simulation, Steve Mackinnon's MLB analytics report, all that on the website right now. Get 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code PRO. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Normally, by the way, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Normally, I would read tweets here right off the top, but I want to get to college baseball because we are down to the regionals now, and co-hosted by the books along with Captain America, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, kind enough to join us to break it all down. Jensen, where are you headed this weekend for all of this?
Great to be with you, boys. Headed to the old country roads to take me home to Morgantown. So about a 3-hour drive from where I'm at in Northeast Ohio. Gil Kelly, I can tell you when you watch it on TV, and fortunately Tom Hart and I will have the first game on ESPN2 at noon Eastern between Wake Forest and Kentucky on Friday afternoon. The place is going to be insane. We have a couple of host sites that are going to be absolutely ridiculous atmospheres. And very excited to see the Morgantown faithful when they get their team, the Mountaineers, playing at 5 p.m. Eastern time that day as well.
I want to do this bracket by bracket. The way that we have the graphics set up, it's not necessarily in terms of like, which bracket then ends up against which bracket in the super regionals. We'll do these alphabetically, guys. You can go to the first graphic there. Let's start with the Atlanta region, or Athens, actually, if we're doing it alphabetically. Athens region, where Georgia, of course, rules the roost here. I assume you expect the Bulldogs to advance out of this?
It would be a shock for me to see them not do that. Ironically, I did have the Athens regional last year, and it was a massive shocker. They were the 7 seed last year. And Gil, one of the great home run hitting teams in college baseball the last decade. They're right back to it. They won the regular season SEC title as well as the conference title. And when you look at where they are just stacked up against Liberty, BC, and LIU, it would be a shock for them not to get through. I do agree for them to be over $3.5 favorite. Wes Johnson's group, about as formidable offensively, and they have one of the player of the year candidates, a slugging catcher and left-hander Daniel Jackson. Their tape measure homers, Gil. This is a team that could join the 2024 Tennessee Vols, my 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores, and the 2009 LSU Tigers to win not only the regular season SEC title, the tournament title, but also the Men's College World Series title if they're able to get to that final and hoist the trophy at the end of the road.
Atlanta, I'm going to assume Georgia Tech for you as well. Big favorite, minus 750 favorite to come out of that.
How about this offense? And again, this is how old I am, or I guess how old we are. Danny Hall retired last year. His young protege, James Ramsey, takes over his first season as head coach. And all they do is go out and just beat the absolute crap out of every opposing pitching staff. They lead Division I in batting average at .358, on base percentage at .469. They're slugging over .630. Gil, they're averaging almost 11 runs a game. I just had the Citadel in the SoCon Conference Tournament Final against Mercer over the weekend. They have been absolutely pulverizing the baseball. So if you're going to get a little upset of the apple cart, maybe the Citadel can take out Oklahoma in that first game between the 2 and the 3 seed. But I have no qualms seeing the Yellow Jackets basically slug their way out of this regional and be home there for a super regional in Atlanta as well.
Yeah. Remember, folks, again, what Jensen is referring to, these are the regionals. There's 8 of them. Winners will then face each other in the super regionals in a best of 3. But that's where that, if we ever show our College World Series bracket, that FACACTA bracket,
yep,
it starts with the super regional. So it's all very sort of confusing. Let's go to the Auburn bracket here, the Auburn regional. Where are the Tigers? No surprise here, minus 290. Any upset potential here?
This is an intriguing one because if you look at where they are offensively, they're not the best offense in this regional. You could look to UCF and NC State, obviously out of the Big 12 and the ACC respectively. But this is one of the top pitching teams in the country, Gil. 16 wins against ranked opponents this year. That's tied with Georgia for the most in Division I. They are averaging about 6.5 runs per game against those ranked opponents, but it has been a trio of arms on their weekend rotation. They can absolutely run suppress with the best of them. If you're looking for a little an upstart, you might want to take a little nibble at UCF. On the selection show on Monday, they were all in the pool, tarps off in their own right when they saw their name called there. So I don't anticipate it. I would think Auburn holds serve and again would be in line to host a super regional there on the plains.
All right, Texas, like Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Texas, a similar minus 750 favorite to come out of the Austin regional.
10th time the Longhorns, I believe, have been a top 8 seed here, Gil. They were eliminated. You talk about an upset. Last year in the Austin regional, it was UTSA who knocked them out as a 2 seed. That's the first time since 2007, when I made my major league debut, that they lost a home regional. They had won 6 straight home regionals up to that point. They're one of the top 20 pitching staffs in the country at a .422 ERA, 6th in whip at a .122, and they've been pretty formidable at home, 29-4, their home record this year. Gil, I'll highlight this because I think people need to realize in the betting terms, when you're a regional host, since 1999, it's been about a 66% conversion rate,
yeah,
to not only get to super regionals, but those super regional hosts have gotten to Omaha at a 70% clip. So that's why you look at not only the top 16, but particularly the top 8 seeds. It's an automatic home field advantage if you win your regional into a super. Over 2/3, almost 3/4 of the time, you're seeing those hosts advance not only to the supers, but also to Omaha.
All right, these 4 regionals, Jensen, perhaps more interesting because let's start in Chapel Hill. North Carolina did not get a top 4 seed, right, which was a bit of a surprise to some. Is Tennessee live in this region?
North Carolina got a 5, so they are the number 5 national team. But you're right, Gil, of the top 8, the committee did them no favors whatsoever with the road that they've got to go through. Tennessee, obviously, we know a very battle-tested group. They've actually played a lot better here down the stretch. And East Carolina, Cliff Godwin's group, just find a way in, man. They're very dangerous. We're used to seeing them. My old pal Gavin Williams, now ace of the Cleveland Guardians staff, one of the top draft picks for Cliff Godwin the last handful of years. You're looking at a North Carolina team, though, built on pitching. They have two pitchers in the top 10 in Division I in ERA. Caden Glauber and Jason DeCaro are third and 10th, respectively. Gil, when I look for futures and I look for teams, if you give me two legit starters on a Friday and Saturday, that's usually enough to get you through. And if you've got two or three bullpen arms that can generate big time swing and miss, which is what North Carolina has, I think they're going to be okay. Listen, no favors done to them. It's still going to be difficult, but as long as their pitching is able to hold up, they don't hit a bunch of homers, but they have got enough run suppression on top to bottom of that pitching staff. But it is going to be a fight there at Chapel Thrill this weekend.
What about in College Station? I've heard some buzz on Southern Cal. They're plus 195. Obviously, the Aggies are minus 200. Any love from you for USC?
Okay, so I have a 50-1 future from earlier in the year on USC. Remember, they were out to an unbelievable start. What, 22-23-1? They were one of the hot shots at the beginning, along with UCLA. They've tailed off just a little bit, but if you're looking at a team that it could give the Aggies a little bit of run, they probably could. Here's the problem, Gil. If A&M's offense is what it's been for most of the year and they get right, this team can beat anybody offensively any given night. So I would still lean the Aggies to come out, but Southern Cal will provide some resistance.
Ducks and Gators in Eugene and Gainesville, or you see some challengers there, legit challengers?
Man, the two teams that hate each other, right? Oregon State, they both could be one seeds. So you get the rivalry there. And boy, I wish Dax Whitney were healthy, man. One of the top draft potential picks here upcoming. The arm injury sucks because not only the high 90 to triple digit fastball, but again, that rivalry of the old Pac-12 days between the Ducks and Oregon State. I'll tell you what, Oregon gave UCLA all they could handle in the Big 12 tournament, or the Big 10 tournament, I should say. I would say whoever wins this one between Oregon and Oregon State is going to give Texas a real run for their money if it is indeed an Austin Super Regional.
All right. We should have had another segment for you to do the other eight regionals. Let me just ask you these two questions in close. How many SEC teams are we getting out of the 16 Super Regionals? How many SEC teams do you think we'll see, and who wins it all?
Okay, so I have a 45-1 ticket on Florida, and I think they're my pick right now. Aiden King, Liam Peterson, the way that rotation has been in the back end of their bullpen, they got a couple of guys that can run it up triple digits. Middle of that lineup now with Blake Sear, Kyle Jones at the top, Caden McDonald, they're going to be a handful. I love Gainesville and Kevin O'Sullivan to get there. They're my pick to win it this year.
Okay. Jensen, appreciate the backup. Buy the books Monday through Friday, along with Dave Rush. You're keeping Dave in check, by the way. You doing okay with
him? We're trying to. You know, it's a day in, day out process, my friend. Captain America takes no prisoners.
Day by day.
That's right.
This is the response.
Got Ludwig sweats this weekend.
At JLew50, by the way, for Jensen. JLew, spell out 50 for his Twitter. Thanks, Jensen. Appreciate it. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Circus 2026 football contests are open. You don't have to live in Las Vegas to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy. Big, in addition to our 3-1 start in tennis this morning with, again, six pending, so the day really hasn't even gotten on, you know, full swing yet. The biggest news for those of us with IGA tickets, Yelena Ostapenko, the hamburger, knocked out IGA's personal kryptonite, who she's never beaten and was about to play next in the third round. Instead, it'll be IGA against her countrywoman, Magda Linette. Linette beat IGA once, too, here recently, but that was IGA was having a little problem between the ears.
Pegula went down, too.
Pegula went down yesterday. Right now, Marta Kostyuk in a dogfight, and so is Elena Rybakina. Crap. Elena Rybakina in a dogfight as well. So this is big doings on the clay in Paris. Yeah. Kelly, we should be there. Look at that.
We got caught. Yes, here.
Seats still available.
Tato, the fans are out. I see the fans out. We're waving them. I got Kostyuk in that money line parlay from yesterday. Kostyuk, Zverev, and Potapova. Am I still live?
I believe you are. I believe you are.
It's always tough with the times. Zverev haven't started yet.
Been fixated on my matches.
Kostyuk playing now. Potapova, did she play already? I don't know.
Potapova. Who, by the way, you should watch all her matches, by the way.
Why do you think she's in my parlay?
No, she hasn't played yet. Oh, yeah, no, she, she plays tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Do I have that correct?
It was 2 days ahead on that? Or maybe she won already.
Maybe she
won yesterday.
I don't know what's going on there. My schedule's all messed up.
Okay, I'll check it.
Yeah, we should ask these questions off.
Yeah, there. Exciting tennis catch-up with Kelly.
Yeah. We get tweets, beating the book. Rich Sports 1981. Good morning, gents. I cap most all my stuff myself, with the NHL being my best by far. I did not see Vegas sweeping Colorado in any scenario. That series cost me. Well, listen, we said 25-1 yesterday. Actually, at Circa, they were plus 2850. Circa tweeting that out, coming in the Western Conference Finals. The Golden Knights were plus 2850 to sweep the Avalanche. The longest odds on the board, when I say odds, the longest odds on the board for exact series result in that series, pre-flop, plus 2850. And they said they did have several people that bet this. So there were people who cashed this. Golden Knights fans, no doubt.
Yeah, I believe that here.
Yeah, plus 2850, bang. As the Golden Knights complete the sweep over this, and that's hockey, man. The Colorado Avalanche, President's Trophy winners, right? Best record in the NHL. Done. And not just done, swept by the Vegas Golden Knights, who until even when they hired John Tortorella, right? They were just sort of limping into the playoffs,
right,
in the
totally.
Pacific Division, which was, not a good division. Since Tortorella has become the head coach, 19-4-1.
It's incredible.
Now, regular season and postseason, the Avalanche, the 13th straight President's Trophy winner to fail to make the final.
Wow. Hockey's crazy, man. Gets in the playoffs, right?
Hockey's nuts. And, yesterday, I've been saying all this through the prism of a Washington Capitals fan. You correctly said you could really say it through the prism of most teams.
Right, yeah.
How unbelievable what the Golden Knights were doing. I don't want to get any hate for it. What I was saying again, Caps have been to two finals in 52 years. They've won one. The Golden Knights going to their third in 9 years now. They've already won one. They're trying to win their second. And the expansion draft came up and how the rules really sort of helped them with a sort of head start with that. And they got Marc-Andre Fleury. And so good on them for that. But it really does minimize. And I've lived this through the guys at my building who are all huge fans.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it through the years that we've been here. Every time, right? So you go all the way back in 2019, they trade for Mark Stone, right? That's the first one. Like, wow, we got Mark Stone, that you don't understand. He's an incredible player. And then Jack Eichel, right? Anybody could have had Jack Eichel in 2021. It's the Vegas Golden Knights who get him for the Buffalo Sabres. And then the latest of that, of course, is Mitch Marner, who was out there. People kind of knew he was going to leave Toronto. And it's the Vegas Golden Knights who stepped up and ended up getting him in a sign and trade in the summertime of 2025. So it's not just, they have been epic in how they have managed this team. This franchise is just touched. And if it is to be the Carolina Hurricanes and the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final, Hurricanes with a 2-1 lead, game 4 tonight, back at the Bell Center in Montreal, Hurricanes trying to go 11-1. Trying to go up in the series 3-1, but 11-1 to start their playoff run. If it is the Golden Knights and the Hurricanes, that's kind of an epic final.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait for that.
The Tortorella stuff's just crazy. Like we even said it. It's not like we're the biggest hockey guys on the planet, but you're like, how do you make a coaching change that late into the season? You're going into the playoffs. How do you make a coaching change then? And like, that's forever going to be vindicated, man. Like, it's like you will never have to apologize for making that move.
Tied for the second fewest games of a tied for the second fewest games of games remaining in a regular season where that team of a higher where that team ends up in the Stanley Cup final. So
I'm actually shocked.
Eight games left in the regular season for Tortorella. Five is the record back in the day.
Who was it? Do you know?
Oh, it's escaping
like way
me
back
now.
In the
Someone
day.
Will be able to help me out with
the,
that.
I will say I did catch a piece of this was just on social media. So I'm sorry. I don't even know who it was, but it was a podcast. It was a podcast out of Toronto. Oh boy. The Mitch Marner conversation. Oh boy. That is very entertaining.
They are not going to be happy.
They were happy to get that guy out of town and are not happy watching him finding success here with the Golden Knights. That is for sure.
Was it the Dallas Stars who did it with five games left? Don't hold me to that. But somebody did.
That's
with five
nutty. I'm just surprised to hear there was even that Tortorella wasn't the latest into a season.
Yeah, second. I mean, but again, also part of the, you know, the Golden Knights franchise, the second time they've done that, a weird mid-season Gerard Gallant, who got them to the final, his first season, the franchise's first season, was summarily dismissed a couple seasons later in the middle of the pandemic year, right?
Right.
And right before the pandemic hit. Middle of the season, you're like, wait, they were just in the Stanley. What did he do wrong? And
yeah,
that ended proved to be a good move. Also, Peter DeBoer ended up with the greatest record for any Vegas coach is still DeBoer, even though he's the only coach now that hasn't gotten him to a final. Gallant did. That's Cassidy great. Famously, they win with Cassidy, and now with Tortorella, it's incredible, man. Incredible. Good on them. Good on Vegas. Enjoy. And me.
Yeah, yeah.
And stupid me. Crack says, hey, want to come? We have a suite. And I'm like, nah. I got to watch the basketball.
We had to watch the basketball game. We didn't know it was going to be a dud.
If I had only known, yeah, it was such a dud.
I was joking with you off air yesterday. I was like, those casino hosts are sure quick to offer you up Golden Knights tickets when it's November and December. I heard a peep out of them in the past couple months.
We were over there. I was like, I got to watch this game. It's because game tonight, game five could be epic between the Spurs and the Thunder. And it certainly wasn't. By the way, Stanley Cup odds, Hurricanes, even though they're not out of the Eastern Conference final, but are up 2-1, they're actually -110. Golden Knights, who are through, obviously at +120. And there are the Canadiens. The Avs at +950. Down 2-1 against the Hurricanes.
They are big favorites. 145, 150 on the road tonight?
Yeah. Whew.
5.5 your total.
They're pretty good at hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So your Hurricanes Avalanche ticket does not get home. Sorry
One
that.
NHL future toast.
Sorry about that.
See ya.
Sorry.
Hey, I finally won an award bet, though, in the NBA.
Yes. Joe Mazzulla ticket holders, congrats.
We only had to wait like a month for no apparent reason.
Do we know what
No, not at all. And I like that I'm hearing Tim Bontemps specifically. I don't even know if I can give the whole Hoop Collective crew credit for this, but yeah. Like Bontemps has had a problem with this, especially with the when you're announcing all NBA teams this late too, and it's like
what specifically is his problem with the late thing? I mean, I just think it's weird. What is his problem?
Just that it's weird that you're watching some of these guys that make all NBA teams and it's supposed to just be regular season, right? It's just like the rookie of the year conversation we had when it happened. This is supposed to just be the regular season. So why are we releasing it this late after some of these guys are getting embarrassed in the postseason, right? You're getting Jalen Duren getting embarrassed. You get Joe Mazzulla. We had to push back the announcement like 3 weeks because he got embarrassed. Like, it's just...
So we think that's what it is?
It's just... He doesn't know either. It's just, why don't you just announce these right after?
I loved the tweet we got. Forgive me, I can't remember who wrote it, but they were like, do you think it's because Mazzulla said he doesn't care to have it? So they had to like had a discussion with him at some point. Like, hey, look, you're going to win this and you're going to like it, buddy. You wanted to say something else about the NBA, something right off air you said?
Oh, I got finals MVP stuff.
Oh.
We don't Western have. Conference finals MVP. I want to talk to you about this next segment.
We don't have that in town anywhere.
I can't find it, but there's things.
Western Conference finals MVP.
Yeah.
Is Caruso live?
That's where I'm going with this. This is where what was this? All of yesterday or 2 days ago? We were like, this is SGA or Wemby. There's no way in hell.
Well, Will Hill, by the way, is coming up on the show. He's all over. He has a Caruso ticket.
He bet him after game one, right? Yeah, he bet him after game one.
I think 75-1.
Okay. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. 26.2 points per game, 9.8 assists. That's great, right?
Yeah,
that's great.
Pretty good.
He's shooting 38% from the field. 38% from the field. Alex Caruso, 57% from the field. He's 58% from three-pointers on like 18 of 28 shooting threes. He's been a part of the Wemby defense. There's a case here, and he's 50-1.
Of course there's a case. I mentioned Iguodala yesterday. It's not the same thing. Iguodala did it primarily on defense, right? But it feels like that kind of year. If, large two-letter word, OKC ends up winning this, of course. Coming back, we'll continue that next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa. Gil, Kelly, in the hizzy. Shrek McVie on Twitter. Egopath just opened right back up. Hashtag Hamburglar. Listen, I have to do. I call Yelena Ostapenko the hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Drew has incorrectly misappropriated her to the Hamburglar.
Which is funnier, actually.
Which is funnier, because it makes no sense whatsoever. Not that mine
it
did.
It only makes sense if you know your joke yeah, that's ahead right. of time.
Yeah. So now, so Shrek said, hashtag Hamburglar. Patrick Kelly, you think your commute this morning was bad. This will make it way better. Or, oh dear God, what are we doing less than 2 years away if that? What he is referring to is, you're familiar with the cartoon, this is before your time, the Jetsons?
Oh, I love the Jetsons.
You know, somebody, you know, there's companies working on, there's companies working on this. You're talking about vehicles that hover over ground. I'm telling you, man.
The
future's almost here. I wouldn't have to deal with those traffic lights, would I?
Wake me up when I can, like, teleport somewhere. I'm all about teleport technology.
Again, I would...
Point A to point B, right like that.
You're
going to get a hovercraft? Like, what are we doing with all these roads and cars and everything?
So you're in favor of the beam me up Scotty.
Yes, I would like the beam me up Scotty. I don't really need to, like, I don't know.
Beam me
what
up,
am I have to go?
Scotty.
20 years from now, I'm going to have to go buy, like, a Tesla flying machine? That sounds safe.
Again, I just want to say this. I know this is a national show, but for those in the Las Vegas area today, we'll never find out the information on this, but I would imagine the traffic collisions are going to be in full force.
Yeah, we're on Las Vegas local radio right now. Be safe out there. That's really the biggest message.
Be safe out there.
I mean, South Florida, this used to happen all the time, right? You hit an intersection, it's the blinking yellow lights because there's weather. You don't get that in Las Vegas. I mean, we hit reds. It was reds everywhere. The only thing more dangerous than that is if it's greens everywhere.
Reds for 5-6 minutes at a time while everybody else was going.
Mine were red at all four sides.
We have to get the footage, security cameras of Circa of me sprinting from the parking lot, down the escalator, all that. J-Rod, Hamburglar out. Oh, it's already transformed. It's migrated. Hamburglar out. This is from a pre-war collector. Gil, every New York-based team, not just the Knicks, has a delusional fan base, and I'm a Yankee/Giants fan.
Thank
you, pre-war collector, for the honesty.
You know what I saw a good tweet about the other day? I forget who sent this out, but it's like, it was the, what is it about the Knicks? It's amazing.
Because
there are, like, I think you could argue that there are deeper fan bases for the Yankees and Giants, but, like, when the Knicks make the playoffs... There is something about the Knicks.
Well, the Yankees and Giants also win championships historically, right?
That's what it is, right?
So they've won championships. If you're a, what's the other one? Jets, Mets, you know, that's a little more of a defeatist, you know, sort of fan base, even though, of course, the Mets have won. Jets, not since the 60s. But the Knicks one is particularly amusing to outsiders because you haven't won anything in over 50 years. Calm down. You're not the center of anything, and your arena's not the mecca of anything, and your city's not the center of anything basketball-wise.
I love it. I love it.
He says growing up in D.C.
I think anytime there's a massive fan base like this, that I think it's okay for us to root against some suffering for a little bit, but it's fun to see when things all come together.
Chris Heath, as a Warriors fan in the late 90s, you had to latch onto a playoff team. I love that Knicks team with Spree, John Starks. LJ, Marcus Camby, Allen Houston. Yeah, I forgot Grandmama was on that team also.
I mean, that was after MJ days, right? Like, that was the team, the first team I went to, kind of fan-wise.
He says, I believe they were an 8 seed. Yes, and I forever hated the Spurs after that. Was Tim Duncan a rookie? Was Duncan a rookie on that team? The Knicks were an 8 seed. Remember, they famously beat the Heat, right, in 5?
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I guess, the second time that had happened, that an 8 seed. Remember, the Nuggets team with Dikembe. Him famously wagging his finger on the ground against the Sonics was the first 8 seed to win a NBA series. But that Knicks team was the second. And yeah, they got all the way. This was the lockout season. Remember, they played 66 regular season games that year.
Duncan, rookie of the year before.
Yeah, second year. That's right. Patrick Kelly adds that PK Mountain Steeler Dan. He says, yeah, go Mountaineers. That's the mountain in my name. Safe drive and enjoy the pepperoni rolls. Talking about Jensen's segment. James Sott, I wasn't worried, I'm lying, but the hamburger is out, and Eagle won't play her Friday. He said hamburger. He said the correct way. Brian Point Schaefer, Gil, what's your handicap on this French 17-year-old phenom Kwame, home country, won his first round match? I'll be honest with you, Brian, I don't have depth of numbers to really assess him in the way that I did others on the women's side coming up. I don't have much for him. Obviously, on the main tour, I don't have much at all, but even when I go into his challenger tour numbers, I don't know that I can really make a true assessment. It's not as dense as some of the others were through the years, where I could say, oh, look, Carlos Alcaraz is going to be great. Iga going to be great. John A. Cornell Jr. Wow, Jensen speaking with Gil, catching Gators at 45-1 to win it all. A very timely pick, in my opinion. And Del Mind the Gap Radio, why do the women's tennis matches still play a best of three instead of best of five like men? Is it, he says, it's the way they're trained. It's best of three.
You know what's tough for me?
I'm not going to answer that. I'm not stepping in that.
Yeah. What's tough for me with tennis is the problem is the best of three can feel too short sometimes, and the best of five can feel way too long.
Best of three. Listen, I don't love men's slams, best of five, because my underdog plays are less likely to manifest, right? So it's a little bit of a different challenge there.
And like,
I'll read more tweets.
And I love tennis. Yeah. But like, and I think this would be fair to say, anybody who wants to say this about the NBA, I'm not going to fight back. Love tennis. I don't need to sit in for 3.5 hours or whatever for a 5-set battle.
So I talked about this with Sinner and Alcaraz. For those who, you know, I'm a tennis hardo, but for those who are like casual sports fans who like are on the fence about tennis, you have these two greatest players of this generation, Sinner and Alcaraz, the greatest thing you could ever watch. And even I would say, I'm not sitting here for 5.5 hours watching this. Like, great. Like, as great as it is.
I mean, it's game five last night in the Western Conference Finals for a series I've been looking forward to for like 2 years already with Victor Wembanyama playing in the most important game of his career. And Gil texts me like beginning of third quarter, like, what's with all these free throws? It's killing the game. And it killed the game.
It was unwatchable.
It killed the game.
It was
how many
so
times?
Many
how
many fouls? By the way, if we were doing our job, we would have given you the odds currently on Western Conference Finals MVP. This is per DraftKings. Shea is minus 400 and Victor is plus 360. Where is Caruso now, you ask? 35-1 at DraftKings. But old Eagle Eye Kelly Bidley was over on Calci, was it?
Well, I wanted to pop up and see what. So 35-1, and this is down from this morning when I first looked. I was 40-1 before the show over at DraftKings, 40-1 at FanDuel last checked, 50-1 over at Hard Rock. I just checked here during the break. But I wanted to see what old Calci had to say about this, and he is a little over 17-1 at Calci, which makes a little bit more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, are we going to get lazy in this and just go with one of the stars? Probably. But, like, we're talking about odds here, right? We're talking about 50-1, 40-1. And, like,
I'll counter that counter by saying it's also not the NBA Finals, right? It's the Western Conference Finals.
That too.
So I wonder if voters would be more likely to bet for the rando.
Okay, and it's fairer for us to wonder because we don't have a ton of history on this
We don't. I'm just talking.
I think that's fair. I also think it's fair to wonder, is it easier to, for the anti-Shea people, is it easier to show up now instead of the finals because you don't want to ruin like an NBA Finals award, MVP award?
Can I read the Chris Massaro tweet? Can I read the Chris Massaro tweet? The Chris Massaro, who's been on this network many times. Mm-hmm. I think he's in humans contests a lot as well. I've had one interaction with him on Twitter. It didn't go well, but we made nice afterwards. But Chris is, you know, I think he represents a lot of sort of NBA viewers here on this, where he said, he went a little strong, I'll say, but just to give you an idea, if you're not an NBA super fan, he says, this is his tweet, SGA even good? 3? 16 points from the line. Give me a break. What in the world did he do tonight to deserve 17 free throw attempts? The most overrated team in the history of the NBA. Let me guess, Scott Foster will be there for game 6. He adds, the memes make themselves. So now I don't know if he has a Spurs bet. I don't know if he's being emotional there or whatever, but I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
It is not an aesthetically pleasing brand of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there is probably a voter or two in there, or maybe there isn't, right? Maybe they are going to be lazy. And then again, OKC still has to win this series. Let's be clear, right?
Right. Yes.
Let's be clear about that.
We should be very clear about that. Yeah.
But let's say the Spurs win game 6, or even if they don't, whatever happens. If Shea doesn't have an outstanding final game, whether it's game 6 or game 7 in an OKC victory, that door is wide open for Caruso if he does anything.
The regular season MVP who shot over 50% from the field is shooting 38% in the Western Conference Finals.
And the flops are insane. And it's just, there has to be some kind of backlash against that. Done there? He says, ?
I don't know. I like Caruso. I like those long odds. I don't know that I'd be betting at 17, 35, 40, 50. Will was on it early. I mean, it's dicey. You're talking about a guy off the bench. 2 games ago, he did nothing. He had one shot 2 games ago. Like that will also be in the minds of voters.
Kendrick Perkins calls Alex Caruso. You hear that? What his superlative comment about Caruso? Kendrick Perkins said Alex Caruso is one of the 5 best role players of all time.
Yeah. He's up there, man. He's been awesome for years. These last 2 years, the Thunder are there without him.
I mean, if you're a Lakers fan, you got rid of him. Like, what, what are you doing? What are you doing? We'll come back. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball. Will Hill, Todd Wishnev. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.